Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Greetings and felicitations. This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. How you doing, everybody? Thirsty Thursday, the third day of November 2022. We are less than a week away from the midterm elections, and Americans are simply fed up with Joe Biden and the way he has destroyed this nation from an economic standpoint, from an immigration standpoint, from an international relations standpoint, from a crime standpoint, from a corruption standpoint, from a trustworthiness standpoint, and of course, from a transparency standpoint. Congressman Steve Scalise is the House Minority Whip. He's a Republican from Louisiana. And here's what he had to say about Joe Biden and the way he's running our nation into the ground. And he agrees with me. He agrees with me that Joe Biden has destroyed the nation and that a red wave should occur, unless, of course, there's some fraud or irregularities once again in our voting system. And if it happens this time, I'm afraid this nation might just lose all faith in our election process. Take a listen to Steve Scalise.
Hey, look, everywhere I go, and I've been to over 40 congressional districts in the last few weeks, people are fed up with this madness, this far-left socialism, all of this taxing and spending that's raising their prices. The reason people, hard-working families that are living in the real world are paying more is because of all of Joe Biden's actions. He shut down American energy day one, and he said he would rush drilling in America, and he has, and now the price goes through the roof. And his answer is to beg foreign countries like Russia to produce. Why don't we make more here in America? Obviously, you've championed that as well. But they keep spending money. He just signed a $730 billion tax hike. People are paying even more at the grocery store. He's going to double the size of the IRS on small businesses, hardworking families, all under the guise of reducing the inflation. Everybody knows it's malarkey, to use his term. Frankly, I think people are fed up. They're going to vote in record numbers next Tuesday for Republican candidates everywhere from Oregon to Miami to all the way up in Maine, down to Arizona, New Mexico. You're going to see it all across the country. People are going to say, we've had enough of big government socialism. Let's bring some common sense back to Washington.
Ouch, the truth does hurt, especially when it comes from someone like Steve Scalise, the Republican congressman from Louisiana, telling it like it is. Well, let's switch gears for just a moment. I've been talking to you about illegal trespassing, criminal invading, law-breaking immigrants for over 3 years now here on the Truth Hurts program. I spoke about the big, beautiful wall that Donald Trump attempted to have built to keep these illegal criminal lawbreakers out of our nation. And I watched as Joe Biden shut down that process. You know what's really scary? Government contractors sign contracts to do things like build big, beautiful walls. And they are paid whether or not the big, beautiful wall is built or not. That's correct. The contracts are signed, and government contracts are generally written in a way so that if the contractor screws up and doesn't finish a job on time, there are massive penalties, there are shortages in their pay, etc. But when the government shuts down the contract, those contractors get paid in full. Whether they've done the work or not, those contractors benefited from your tax dollars. They were paid to build the wall. Even though Joe Biden shut that down, those contractors still got paid. And guess what? They should. They invested the time, the energy, the resources, the research, the development, the engineering, the design. They purchased the supplies, the tools, the equipment. They brought people on their staffs to get the job done. And when someone like Joe Biden screws up and says, nah, we're not going to build a wall, those contractors got paid, and they should have gotten paid. So all of the illegal, criminal, law-breaking, trespassing, invading aliens that came across the country kept doing so for Joe Biden's entire presidency. We hasn't even been in office for 2 years yet, and we have well over 5 million caught. That they're reporting it at 4 million, but it's closer to 5 million. And that's not the ones who got away. But here is something that makes me chuckle. It makes me laugh because Nancy Pelosi was one of the people who wanted the wall finished in her state of California because, you know, she needs to protect her state. But to hell with New Mexico, Arizona, Texas. While people like Pelosi are using tax dollars to put up fences and walls and barriers and barricades around their own homes and their offices and their buildings, she was one of the leading proponents of stopping Donald Trump's big, beautiful wall. And now it appears that karma has come back to bite Nancy Pelosi, or at least her husband, square on his ass. According to Fox News, the Pelosi attack suspect, David DePape, was an illegal immigrant, and he now might face deportation after his criminal trial. David DePape, the man accused of breaking into House Speaker naughty, nasty Nazi Nancy Pelosi's home and allegedly assaulting her elderly husband, Paul Pelosi, is an illegal immigrant. No, he wasn't Hispanic, and no, he didn't illegally immigrate to the U.S. from the Mexico side, but apparently he came across from Canada, and now he could face deportation. The 42-year-old DePape has been reported by many media outlets as Paul Pelosi's male prostitute or gay lover. I don't know. I'm just telling you what's been reported, but it kind of makes sense. Who would want to have sex with Nancy Pelosi? And at 80-something years old, why would it matter? But I guess someone like Paul Pelosi can afford implants, Viagra, or whatever else keeps you up in the morning. DePape first entered the U.S. illegally in 2008. According to this report, he did indeed come through Mexico. Canadian citizens are permitted to enter the U.S. for pleasure without a visa, but their stays are limited to 6 months. DePape has illegally remained in the U.S. for 14 years. The Department of Homeland Security, headed by Mr. Biden's choice, Mr. Alejandro Mayorkas, is aware of DePape's immigration status, and now they have issued a detainer on him. Detainers are legal notices that notify local law enforcement that a particular person in their custody may be subject to deportation. Why aren't there 15, 20, 30 million detainers out on all of the Julios, Hectors, Gonzaleses, Mendezes, and other illegal, criminal, law-breaking, trespassing migrants from our southern border? Well, that's a question you'll have to ask Alejandro Mayorkas or the border czar, Camel Toe Harris, and they will deflect your question or ignore it completely or come up with some BS answer like they always do. According to the arrest record, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, lodged an immigration detainer on Canadian national David DePape with the San Francisco County Jail November 1st, following his October 28th arrest, according to DHS officials. DePape is pleading not guilty to charges of attempted murder, residential burglary, assault with a deadly weapon, a hammer, elder abuse, false imprisonment of an elder in his own home, and threats to a public official and her family. Supposedly, he broke into the multi-million dollar Pelosi home in California last week. Police say he brought zip ties into the home and attempted to restrain Paul Pelosi. And supposedly he asked the question, "Where's Nancy?" Investigators say he threatened to break Pelosi's kneecaps had she been home. Listen, folks, I don't condone what happened to Paul Pelosi if indeed he was attacked by this guy. But some reports out there are saying Mr. DePape was a male prostitute or someone engaging in homosexual activities with the husband of the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Investigators say he threatened to break Miss Nancy Pelosi's kneecaps if she were home. Paul Pelosi says he was able to move to the bathroom in order to make the phone call to authorities at 2 a.m. Friday. Fortunately, Nancy was not home. Fortunately for some. Officers arrived in moments to find two men struggling over a hammer. Officers ordered the men to halt, at which point DePape struck Paul Pelosi on the head at least once, allegedly fracturing his thick skull. The 82-year-old was sent to the hospital for surgery and is expected to make a full recovery. Now that's the story that's been released to the press, but you and I both know that there is a very good chance that Paul Pelosi was engaged in some activities with this man. There were no signs of forced entry, and you mean to tell me that the home of the Speaker of the House of Representatives of the United States of America doesn't have security systems, security cameras, locked doors, a security detail? Come on, man. There's a lot more to this story that's not being divulged. And we probably, if the Democrat Party is handling the media on this, we probably won't find out for years what actually happened. Years after Paul and Nancy are long dead and buried. But that's the way it works in Democratic-controlled socialist states of America. We may never find out the truth. I hate to bring this up, but Greta Thunberg has found her way back into the news cycle yet again. The Telegraph reports Greta Thunberg thinks it's time to transform the West's oppressive and racist capitalist system. Now, this girl is supposed to be some kind of climate nut job, and she is. The little autistic 15-year-old girl who said, "How dare you! How dare you rob me of my childhood!" She doesn't go to school. She flies around on very polluting jet airplanes around the world, telling people not to fly on, jet airplanes around the world. From climate change campaigner to presenting a new far-left wacky political agenda against what she calls racist capitalism, the media wants you to meet the new ugly little teenage girl, Greta Thunberg, whose face still looks like she has this blank stare of stupidity. She's now 19 years old, and she is now labeling herself as a Swedish activist. She has announced that as well as tackling her usual area of climate action and awareness spreading, she has now thrown her meager weight behind defeating the world's oppressive capitalist system of the West. Calling for a system-wide transformation at her recent book launch in London, she claimed that the world's current normal, dictated by the people currently in power, has caused the climate breakdown. She said, "We are never going back to normal again because normal was already a crisis. What we refer to as normal is an extreme system built on the exploitation of people and the planet. It's a system defined by colonialism, imperialism, oppression, and genocide by the so-called global north to accumulate wealth that still shapes our current world order. If economic growth is our only priority, then what and when are we experiencing now should be exactly what we should be expecting." It's a book signing. She's trying to sell books. This 19-year-old girl is already a millionaire because stupid people follow her. And that is all I have to say on this little, very unattractive young lady who, for some reason, gets paid attention to by the far leftist wacky media. Greta Thunberg, my God, why? Why? This is the Truth Hurts program. Again, why? Oh, let's go back to the subject of the illegal immigration. The illegal immigrant that came in illegally through Mexico and attacked Paul Pelosi is not the only illegal immigrant in the news for burglary and for other crimes. News. Chris Pandolfo of Fox News says the suspect in Arizona candidate Katie Hobbs' campaign burglary was an illegal immigrant wanted by ICE. That suspect, who was arrested in the alleged burglary of the Arizona Democratic gubernatorial candidate Katie Hobbs' campaign office, is an illegal immigrant from Portugal who is wanted by immigration authorities, according to a report. Oh, the Democrats want illegal immigrants to just come on down, come on in. We'll let you right on in. Welcome to the United States of America. U.S. ICE told Phoenix-based 12 News that 36-year-old Daniel Mota dos Reis is a citizen of Portugal who came to the U.S. as a registered student in 2018 and is now violating the terms of his admission to our nation. The public information officer Yasmin Pitts O'Keefe from Immigration and Customs Enforcement said that Mota is currently at large for administrative immigration violations for failing to maintain his status as a registered student at an academic institution. Police arrested Mr. Mota last Thursday and charged him in connection to the Hobbs campaign headquarters break-in. And then he was released on bond before the immigration detainer could be issued. Hobbs first announced the burglary and attributed the crime to, quote, dangerous misinformation, unquote, spread by her opponent, Republican gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake. This is hilarious, my friends. This is what Hobbs said, quote,
let's be clear. For nearly 2 years, Carrie Lake and her allies have been spreading dangerous misinformation and inciting threats against anyone they see fit. The threats against Arizonans attempting to exercise their constitutional rights and their attacks on elected officials are the direct result of a concerted campaign of lies and intimidation.
Police have not said there was any political motivation in the burglary. And it was an illegal, criminal, trespassing Hispanic Latino immigrant who did this break-in. And they supposedly all vote Democrat. Investigators arrested Mr. Mota on an unrelated burglary and then placed him at the scene of the crime. Oh, my friends. ICE learned about Mota's immigration status after his arrest by the Phoenix PD, but he bonded out of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office prior to ICE being able to issue that detainer, which would have kept him there and possibly sent him a packin' after his trial, which he probably won't show up for because, you know, Democrat, illegal, criminal, law-breaking, trespassing immigrants don't usually show up for trial. Now, do they? This is the Truth Hurts program. God, it doesn't get much better than this, does it? The Washington Examiner's Zach Faria says Democrat governors have voters seeing red. With their election prospects looking grimmer and grimmer by the day, Democrats are discovering that democratic governance during and since the pandemic has not been particularly popular. According to Axios, Democrat campaign operatives working the House races are laying blame on Democrat governors for dragging down their Democrat congressional candidates down ballot. With races in New York, California, and Oregon shifting dramatically towards the Republicans, those Democrat operatives are laying blame on their respective governors Kathy Hochul, Gavin Newsom, and Kate Brown. Hochul has made a habit of ignoring and downplaying the massive amount of crime in her Democratic-run hellhole. In fact, she says that anyone concerned about crime is a data denier who is falling for conspiracy theories from master manipulators. Meanwhile, crime in her state has gotten worse, even in areas not democratically controlled, like certain small towns. Even New York Democrats rank it as their second most important election issue. But Governor Hochul's dismissive attitude towards crime will probably cost her her job, because her opponent, Lee Zeldin, has gained much momentum in these recent weeks leading up to the election. Now, we know Gavin Newsom won't lose his job, but it isn't rescuing House Democrat candidates in swing districts across his state. Newsom has been focused on preparing for his potential 2024 presidential run. He disregards California's growing poverty, homelessness, cost of living issues, high crime, exorbitant prices, gas tax increases, which all amplify the effects of Joe Biden's Democratic Party's inflation. And that is the Democratic Party's biggest vulnerability going into next week's midterms. With some of the most restrictive lockdowns, shutdowns, shutouts, and other COVID restrictions, which proved no good because they still had massive COVID cases in California, Newsom and his Democratic colleagues defied science. To top it off, he's been dismissive of crime, peddling misleading talking points, which Ms. Hochul in New York has begun to parrot, because she thinks crime is a red state problem. Yeah. Governor Brown is another governor who ignored crime and homelessness, and she checks in as the least popular governor in the country. And though she's not running for re-election, voters are holding it against her party. Joe Biden even campaigned in Oregon to try and stop the bleeding, but vulnerable House Democratic candidates will likely not survive an election in which Oregon voters are poised to elect a GOP governor for the first time since 1982. Those are not the only Democrat governors who are dragging their party down. Gretchen Whitmer is also courting competitive race thanks to her incoherent lockdown orders in Michigan. The races in Kansas, Nevada, Wisconsin, and Oregon all have Democrat governors on the verge of losing their governor's seat. With no presidential race, these Democratic governors are at the top of the ballot. Democrats are learning that people don't like living under the Democratic Party rule as much as they thought. The progressive, woke liberalism, socialism, and damn near communism in these Democratic states are proving and showing the voters just what they voted for. High inflation, recession, high interest rates, massive crime waves, illegal immigrants out of control, burdensome regulations, restrictions, and high taxes. And now people are looking in their wallets and seeing dust and lint where money should be. The average American last year and this year, so for 2 years in a row, the average American has worked 12 months and effectively only been paid for 11 months, thanks to the inflation of Joe Biden and the Democratic Party. That's fact. That's reality. That is statistical data. We will likely see the party line up behind a Gavin Newsom presidential run in 2024, even as House Democrats lose swing seats in the same state that he governs. Because Democrats never learn their lesson, and we benefit. And this is the Truth Hurts program. Now you have to ask yourself, my Truth Hurts program listeners, what is going to become of all of those Democratic Party campaigners, those people in charge of the disastrous campaigns being run by these Democrats who will likely all lose their jobs, or at least lose their elections? Here's my thoughts. Those folks are going to be out there unemployed because, let's face it, after you take an ass whooping in the polls, in the elections, who's going to want to use you as a campaign manager in a future election? Your track record means everything in that business. Some of those people will probably go on to different careers altogether. But some of them might try to stay in the game in some way, shape, fashion, or form. Maybe they'll become a college professor or try and find a job on a local news station. That's how George Stepton Poupoulos got his job at ABC. But he didn't work for the losing team. He worked for Bill Clinton at that time, who was on the winning team, as unfortunate as that turned out to be. So my question is, what will happen to all of those campaign managers and campaign workers and spokespeople who support the losing Democrat candidates in the upcoming midterm elections? The Truth Hurts program seems to have found the answer.
Attention, campaign workers for the Democratic Party. Are you a soon-to-be out-of-work campaign worker for a Democratic candidate? Are you tired of supporting people who do not have the best interests of the United States at heart? Are you wondering what you are going to do once the midterm elections send you packing? Fear not. Joe Biden's disastrous economy has left tens of millions of jobs unfilled, and you can start work the day after your party loses in the midterm elections. Were you a spokesperson, TV or radio media broadcaster, spouting lies, spinning positions, or trying to sell the disastrous Democratic Party agenda? Fear not. There is work for you. There are currently tens of thousands of jobs that you are qualified to perform, and they are open right now. Sure, you may not be speaking to thousands of brain-dead viewers on a liberal talk show while wearing a nice suit, but you can use that broadcasting experience on the 4-inch speaker behind your local fast food restaurant.
Welcome to Snappy Jack's. Can I take your order? Would you like fries with that?
Did you design campaign buttons, banners, or yard signs for your favorite Democratic candidate? Parlay that liberal arts degree and use your artistic skills to write in permanent marker on cardboard as you stand at the busy intersection.
We'll work for food or gasoline.
And if you were one of the well-dressed dummies standing directly behind your favorite Democratic candidate, nodding and smiling while they stood at a podium and lied to their audience, you can now apply for a position at your local liberal university as a paid speaker or protester. There, you can continue to lie and spout the failed positions of your former employer as you watch the Republicans work hard to make America great again, once again. This message paid for by yet another government grant, originally intended to siphon tax dollars away from legitimate and worthwhile government programs. This message was not authorized by any political party or candidate. I am a non-attorney spokesperson.
And finally today, President Biden took to the airwaves once again on Wednesday in a desperate attempt to try and sway voters. He gave a statement about political violence, which again has reared its ugly head in an attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband and, of course, the campaign headquarters of that lady running for governor in Arizona, both committed by illegal criminal trespassing aliens. Biden can't seem to shake the message that nobody gives a damn about Donald Trump right now. He said the 2020 stolen election lie has fueled political violence all over the country. Oh, come on, man. Really? My God, does this guy ever give up? It was one of the more divisive speeches that Biden has given in the past few weeks, and the rhetoric and the tone of his speaking is more and more divisive as Americans have more and more concern for Biden's mental health. As I mentioned on a previous edition of the Truth Hurts program, more and more people are saying Biden is unfit for office and that perhaps it's time to invoke the 25th Amendment to get rid of this clown. The chances may get even better at that happening if the Republicans take over the House and the Senate. That 25th Amendment was ratified in 1967, and it says the vice president will assume the powers and duties of the presidency in the event the president's inability to serve. But it doesn't clearly define inability. And if Biden is unable, has an inability to properly serve, which has been proven throughout his presidency, Kamala Harris has even more of an inability, which is why once Nancy Pelosi is out as Speaker of the House and a Republican is in as Speaker of the House, it is a possibility, no matter how remote, that the 25th Amendment could be invoked on Mr. Biden and impeachment of Ms. Harris for her mishandling of our nation as Vice President. And that could possibly leave a Republican Speaker of the House to assume the role of president for the remainder of that term.
Oh God, we could only hope, right?
Folks, I've run slap flat out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. Go out there and try and make it a great day, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye for now. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I apologize if you were offended, but I retract nothing. Background music provided by Jason Shaw and Audionautix.